But we've got to get it in our heart to know Jesus is our answer. It's a struggling world we're dealing with. A lot of issues, a lot of problems, a lot of spirits, a lot of fear. I don't know if you know it or not, but the devil is working overtime in this generation. He's working overtime, working hard to distract, disrupt, and destroy. And we, as God's people, need to be aware of what we're dealing with and what we're fighting against. And we can sit back and just let the devil win these battles, or we can take a stand and press and pray and proclaim the Word of God. As Chuck already alluded to, every one of us have a problem. We all have weaknesses. We all have battles. We all have issues. We look at each other on Sunday morning and see Sunday morning smiles and the Living Word body, and you see your pastor up here. But we all have battles. We all have issues. We all have struggles. We all have things we're going through. And we have a Savior who has made a way. We have a Savior who can do anything in our lives if we will trust Him with it. As they sung the song, "Trust in Jesus." There is no battle too big for my God. There is no giant too tall for my God. There is no circumstance too extreme for my God. There is no stronghold too strong for my God. And we have to realize that we have a living, breathing, delivering God who came for the purpose of setting us free and setting the world free. God is love, the Bible says. God is not against you. God is for you. Understand this. God is not holding anything against you. That's why He came to die for you. To prove, I'm not holding anything against you. I love you. Unconditionally, I love you. No matter what you do, how you act, what you say, where you go, I love you. And that love is beyond our measure of thought, because our love, whether we think it is or not, truly is not really unconditional. If it was unconditional, would there be divorce? If it was unconditional, would there be children and parents out with each other and not talking? No, there is conditions. Whatever that is, there's conditions. But God's love is completely unconditional. His love for you is not based on what you do. It's based on who He is. He is love. And it's that love that transcends our fears and our darkness and our sin to make us realize, God, why am I running? Why am I resisting? Why am I rebelling? Why am I angry with You? Why am I mad at You? You love me. You're the one that loves me the very most. Why am I mad at the one that loves me the very most? Now, I know there's a lot of unanswered questions of why we're mad at God or frustrated with God, or maybe don't understand God, because we've had a bad break in life and we've had things happen in our lives. We've had tragedy and we've had storms. We've had battles. We've had things come in that we don't understand and we can't explain. But I do know this: God is faithful and God is love and God is unchangeable and God is for us. And God is standing there every moment of our lives, holding His arms, waiting on us just to run to Him. He's waiting on us. Don't matter what we've been, He's waiting on us to say, God, I'm ready to give it in and to give it up and say, I can't go in one more day. I'm tired of the life that I'm in. And we have a generation trying to fill that void with all kinds of junk that the devil has made available to say, this is what you need for your life. Whether it's alcohol, whether it's sex, whether it's drugs, whether it's whatever. And the devil says, this is what you need to make you complete. This is what you need for happiness. This is what you need for fulfillment. This is what you need for joy. But we find out it's not. It only takes us to a deeper, darker road and pit of our lives. And we realize, this is not where I belong. This is not who I am. But God come to set us free and to say, I birthed you. I called you by name. You are my seed. You are not a mistake. You are not an accident. You have a purpose. You have a plan. You have a reason, and you are mine, and the devil can't have you because you're mine, and I've already called you out of that darkness. You are here by God's design and nothing else. You're not here because mom and dad made a mistake in the backseat of a Chevy. You're here because God said, let there be life, and that's why you're here. And don't let anybody tell you anything different. You're supposed to be born, and with that, there's a plan that comes with that. There's a purpose with that. And we can run from that purpose all we want and find that there's no happiness in our lives. But when we give in to God, I'm not saying they're not battles. I'm telling you, I've been saved since I was 9 years old. And I've tried to live for the Lord, not always done right, still don't do right. But I love God. I've been saved for a long time. And I can tell you this, there are storms to the Christian's life as well. There are battles. We lose people we love. There is divorce among Christians. There is death among Christians. There is rebellious kids among Christians. There are drug addict kids among Christians. There are alcoholic family members. There are homosexual family members. There are abusive family members. There are rape situations. There are a lot of things we battle in life. A lot of things that come into our life that set us back. And we say, God, I'm yours. Why is this happening to me? God, I'm yours. This shouldn't be happening in my life. I'm your seed. I thought you were a good God. He is a good God. He gives us strength to get through those storms. And he is faithful. And understand this. This is a journey. Everybody hear this. This is a journey. We are only temporary here in the earth. It's such a temporary existence. There's a future and an eternity waiting on God's people that is forever. That this is such a, this is like a, this is like spitting in the ocean. You can't even see it compared to eternity. You'll never find your spit in the ocean. I mean, it's just, when I was a little boy, speaking of that, I was so stupid. When I was a little boy, I used to think that the white foam in the ocean was spit. We go to the beach, and I remember saying, is all that white stuff spit? I don't know why I thought that, but I thought it was spit. But it was just the foam from the ocean. And the real stupid thing is, even though I thought it was spit, I still got in there and swam. How stupid was that? But anyway, you're a kid. But it's like spitting in the ocean, having this little earthly rim that we think that, you know, we can just have pleasure and not pay a price and that it's what we need, but it's not what we need. Man, the fix that we need is in Christ. The fix that we need is in a relationship with God to make us complete and to make us, I don't know. I'm telling you, in our journey, I've been married 21 years, raising 3 kids, been a pastor for 12 years, without the presence of God in my life, I'd have snapped. I think most of us would. We'd have snapped. I mean, with all the things that we deal with in life, how are we still here? Because God sustains us. His strength is real, and his strength is powerful. And I look back and say, man, I should have done just lost it somewhere. But somehow God stepped in and gave me one more day of strength, one more moment of peace, one more ounce of joy to get me through to the next day. I woke up again. Okay, God, it's a new day. Can it be any better today? And then the next day, God, another day. Can it be better today? God gives us that strength. But he came because he loved us. In Luke 4:18, we'll read one verse this morning. Just one verse. Luke 4:18. This is Jesus speaking. This is the purpose of why he came. And this applies. I got 5 points in this verse to make. And this explains why he came and what he can do for you. You know the old commercial, what can Brown do for you? That UPS commercial? Well, what can Jesus do for you? Here's what he can do for you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Oh, I see it, didn't it? Here's the first point. He is the good news. He came to preach to the poor. There is hope. There is hope because he's the good news. What's the good news? That Jesus so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's a promise we have. It's his word. The good news is we don't have to die. The good news is we can have everlasting life. The good news is hell can't have us if we're in Christ. The good news is I'll never be separated from my God. The good news is no matter what happens in this realm, I've got a kingdom waiting on me that this realm can't touch, erase, destroy, or alter, or affect in any manner, any way. What God gave me, church, I've got forever. It can't be taken away from me. It's a gift that Jesus gave me because it says that I will have everlasting life. I didn't earn it. I can't do anything to keep it. I can't do anything to gain it other than believe in Jesus. And he is that good news. He came to preach the gospel to the poor. What does that mean? The ones that are homeless on the streets? No. The ones that have no money? No. He's talking about the poor in spirit, those that are sick inside, those that need a Savior, those that are bankrupt and empty and void, those that have no hope or no future. Those that have no peace or no joy. Those that have a need and can't fill it any other way. He says, I came to fill that need. I'm the good news. Man, you are lost. You are destined to die. You are doomed for hell, but I stepped in and I made a ransom and paid the price for you. I made the difference in life and death alone. Life is in me alone. He is the good news, church. He is the good news. And because of that, there is hope. Second point, he heals the brokenhearted. There is healing. We're in a generation of broken hearts, broken families, broken children, broken youth, broken adults, grieving seniors, brokenness throughout every season, every generation. There's brokenness. Our hearts are going to get broken in this world. They will get broken by people we love. They will get broken by our families, maybe by your church. But your heart's going to be broken. You're going to experience brokenness in your life. People leave you. People abandon you. People forsake you. And you have a broken heart. You have a relationship that let you down, that walked away out of your life. And you are standing there broken. You're shattered. But Jesus came to heal that. And he does heal that brokenness. Remember a point in your life when you were broken. And you were in such need. And you were just a mess. And God came by your way and helped you through that season. He picked up the pieces. He put you back together. And he's glued you. And maybe some of you are still kind of scattered. Your pieces are still trying to come together. But he came to heal our broken heart. Broken hearts are a real thing. It's a real issue. And that's why there are so many people searching for stuff in the wrong places. Because of that. Because they're broken. So if they can feel it here, I don't feel quite so broken. If I can find it here, I don't feel quite so broken. If I can dabble in this, I don't feel quite so broken. If I can just be in that relationship, I wouldn't feel quite so broken. But understand, our brokenness can't be fixed with things of the world. Our brokenness is healed by the power of the Lord in our lives. He heals your brokenness. But we have to admit we're broken, church. We can't pretend we got it all together. We can't go around, I mean, I'm talking about before God, and go around saying, God, I'm okay, I don't need you. I'm all right, I got together, not that bad. I'm in good situation. No. When we are broken, we need to go to God and let him know, I'm broken, God. I need you to fix me. Man, I need you to heal me. I don't like being broken. I don't like being shattered. I don't like my heart feeling so heavy and so abandoned that I have no joy and no peace and no hope. I've just been abused. I don't know which way to turn. I don't have no direction in my life. I'm broken. He came to heal that broken heart. But we got to do it God's way. Here's a problem we have, many of us. Is we want to live lives for us. We want to do it our way and expect it to work out. We don't want to surrender to God. We want to be our own authority, our own boss, our own king, our own manager. It's me. It's not you, church. It's none of us. We serve a God. Whether you like it or not, there's a God. Whether you believe it or not, there's a God. There's a creator of all the universe, and there's somebody in charge. It's not us. There's somebody a lot bigger than us. And the sooner we can surrender to that and say, God, I'll give it to you. There is something bigger than me. I mean, you're bigger than me. I don't understand you. Maybe I've not felt you. Maybe I've not seen you the way I want to see you. But I know there's got to be something bigger than me. When we can honor and humble ourselves before God and say, God, I need you. Man, what words. I need you. I need you to fix me because I can't fix myself. And we know, I mean, you know, Chuck has testified to it before, the road he was on. That don't fix your pain. That makes it a lot worse. I mean, it don't fix nothing. It just masks the problem for a little bit. And then the problem's right there again. It never goes away. It's like a haunting ghost that follows you, a shadow that you can't get away from. It's a shadow. Everywhere you go, there it is, staring at you in the face, saying, here, you need me. No, you don't. You need God. He can break it. And I'm proud of where he's brought you from, Chuck. I know it's a long road, and you got a long road ahead of you, but he's brought you a long way to where you were. And as the hand of God, and you stay faithful to that and trust him, he's all you need. That's it. It is so easy, isn't it, to relapse back to our crutch, back to our thing, whatever your thing is. We all have a thing. I mean, y'all all have a thing. I won't make you repeat it out loud for the church, but we all have a thing. And that's what we relapse back to when we're afraid or when we're stressed or when we're scared or whatever. We relapse. And the devil keeps reminding us, keeps trying to wave us back. But Jesus came to heal the brokenness. You don't need anything but him to heal your heart. He will make you whole. He made everybody touched whole. I love when he healed people. He says, you have been made whole. Everything has been made right. You are living complete now because I've touched you. He's all we need. The third point in this verse, he delivers the captive. I was trying to find, didn't have one. I could have got one, I guess, but I didn't have one I could handy. I wanted to have a chain in here for a demonstration this morning, just a big old chain, and wear on my neck and demonstrate how that we all have chains we carry, chains of bondage, chains of anger, chains of fear, chains of rebellion, chains of darkness, chains of resistance, chains of anxiety, whatever, discouragement, depression, we could name a million things, whatever your chain is, worry. And Jesus came to set you free. There is deliverance in him, deliverance from your chains.